This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Finally, the day is here. Free agency has begun. I don't know about you guys, Eric Scalavino and Paul Perillo, but I set an alarm. I was up at midnight.
That was
and I was taking part in the Albert Haynesworth signing with the Washington Redskins.
But that was your two-year-old son who woke you up,
true.
Right?
And I really wasn't.
Plus, that one actually happened a week and a half
ago.
Yeah,
who knew
anyway.
You could work out very detailed $100 million contracts in like 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Only the Redskins can get that kind of stuff
you know,
done.
I normally,
and by the way, have time to throw $54 million towards D'Angelo Hall.
Yeah, I'm normally not a big fan of the whole tampering thing. I don't think it's all that big of a deal.
Oh, I don't either.
But
me
when
either.
They're so blatantly open about it like this, where they actually have the actual contract in the paper 3 or 4 days ahead
it's
of time.
It's a very complex proposal.
Yes, it is.
They're holding a press conference at 5, I believe,
they're
to announce
They're just flaunting it in
yeah.
front of everybody. I think Washington should get in trouble for that.
But
they won't.
It's an exciting period because, as I said, free agency has begun, which means trading period has begun. Sage Rosenfels has been shipped from the Houston Texans to the Minnesota Vikings.
What was that, a fourth-round pick?
Something like that. He inked a 3-year, $9 million contract, I believe, so that could remove any potential interest they would have in Matt Cassel. From a Patriots perspective, I want to get to some reported moves. We must say first, these are reported moves. They have not officially been announced by the team, but pretty legitimate sources like the NFL Network and Mike Reese are involved in these reports, so those guys generally have a pretty
and
good
Mike
information
Mike Reese now
pipeline.
Part of our family?
Part
now?
Of the PFW family?
Progress?
So I can say PFW is reporting?
No.
Well, anyway, the NFL Network is reporting as done deal, multiple
PFW
published reports.
PFW reports, colon.
Fred Taylor is going to be a New England Patriot next fall, and I want to look over this real quick. 11,200 yards, Paul, 4.6 per yards per carry average, 62 touchdowns over his career, 4.6 or better each of the last three seasons. What do you make of the move?
I absolutely love it. I think he's a perfect fit. I think he's a guy, even though he's been around for a long time, he did have some injury problems throughout the early part of his career, so I think there's probably a little bit less wear and tear than a guy with that amount of NFL experience.
33-year-old, 11-year veteran.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's not going to be around here for the next 5 years or anything. Right. I'm not trying to be, all rose-colored glasses here, but I really think he's a perfect fit. I think he's a guy, by all accounts, in Jacksonville, was a consummate pro. He handled he was the man for a long time with the Jags. He handled it well when Maurice Jones-Drew came in and he started having to split carries. I love the move. I think if you're going to look at it on the surface and say Fred Taylor in, Lamont Jordan out. I think it's a major upgrade, mm-hmm. and I think he could be even more than that because I think he could have a larger role than either Sammy Morris or Lawrence Maroney when it's all said and done.
I think you actually took the words out of my mouth, Paul. I was going to say
what
Jordan did last year was fine for the role that he had. He'd come in short yardage, get a few touchdowns. If you needed him to carry the load for third or fourth quarter, he was fine, but a guy like Taylor could easily be the guy who starts for you for a few weeks, and you don't feel like you're missing a beat if Morris goes down or Maroney or whoever your number one de facto back is. But, I'm excited about it, even though the age and the injury history. I think it's a much better upgrade for a guy who's sharing the load.
He could also be the guy that gets about 2 carries a game and has an impact. If I look at correctly, only twice in his career has he had a season where he didn't have a 40-yard run or longer. Plenty of these seasons, 60, 60, 70, 50, 70. I mean, he's a guy that can break the big play. So he's a guy, even if he gets 8 carries a game, there's a chance one of those is a 45-yard run. Certainly with the pass-first nature of the New England offense, there are going to be some loose secondaries. So if he breaks through the front line of scrimmage there, he could go the distance, and he has that ability. So I think we're all in agreement. This is a very, very good move, an upgrade over Lamont Jordan, and potentially just an overall upgrade to the offense and the backfield in general.
Yeah, I thought you brought up that point yesterday on PFW in Progress, Andy, about, with Brady back and you're operating out of the shotgun a lot, you have Moss, you have Welker, probably going to have another weapon or two to throw into that mix, on the outside. It's a pass-first offense. Teams are spread out. And Fred Taylor is going to be sitting back there getting these delayed handoffs and inside traps and whatnot. I think he's going to make some big plays.
Mm-hmm. He's been getting 60, 70-yard runs without a quarterback.
Without a quarterback in a run-dominated offense, running team,
and he's still breaking long runs. Think of what he potentially, I'm not going to guarantee that he's going to be great and have all these 50-yard runs, but potentially with his abilities, I mean, he could be a big play machine out of the backfield.
Yeah, if he stays healthy.
Which is an if.
It's a big if, but if he stays healthy, he could contribute significantly.
And you're not asking him to get 350 carries, the workload is probably going to be much more modest than that.
Which could help with him staying healthy.
Exactly. And you put him in there with Morris, who's also had trouble as a Patriot staying healthy. Maroney, who's had trouble staying healthy. So now you have three guys that if you could say, hey, if I could get 120 carries out of all three of them, that's a pretty good running.
It's a committee like last year, but a better committee.
Yeah, and I used to not really be a big fan of the committee approach, but I think we've seen the kind of transition to that recently in the NFL. The guys with the big, big numbers have such short shelf lives that I think it kind of restricts you a little bit.
And it's also another borderline Hall of Fame type talent who hasn't tasted winning and a ring and going all the way. So we've always talked about that formula. Infuse enough of those hungry veterans into the locker room every year. You know, the junior Seaus and whatever you want to say. He's one of those guys potentially that could be so dead set focused on a ring that helps you overall.
Love it.
Next in line of reported signings, staying on the offensive side of the ball because we know they really needed to shore things up on that side. The last couple of years have been shaky at best. Chris Baker, tight end, formerly of the New York Jets, 29 years old, 6'3", 258 pounds, seventh-year veteran, had 21 catches in 16 games last year. Year before that, he had 41 receptions, a career high. Has never had more than three or four touchdowns in a season. Paul Perillo, talk about the move.
It's another move that I really like. I mean, it's not as strongly as Fred Taylor, but...
Got Homer Perillo over here.
Yeah, I'm fine with it because I think these are good moves. Now, I think that they obviously are going to need to address the defense. So, if this was all they were going to do in free agency...
You're not the best in the business for nothing.
Yeah, but I don't want to, mischaracterize this. I recognize the bigger areas of need are on defense, but... tight end has been a problem for the Belichick era, throughout the Belichick era. I think this guy is Benjamin Watson. I think, to bring in another guy that maybe, I don't know.
Better hands, though?
Yeah, I don't know his history enough to know if he's had enough, as many balls thrown his direction that he doesn't catch. But the ones he does catch are on line with what the production you get out of Watson. 41 catches a career high. What's Watson's, 49?
I believe 49, yes.
This is the same kind of player. It's another guy to add some depth to the tight end position. David Thomas.
I mean, 260, basically.
And I'm surprised he's only 29. I thought he was a little older than that.
Yeah, he seemed older.
So I think, David Thomas is a guy that we've kind of been waiting for. Doesn't look like it's happening. Benjamin Watson, we've been waiting to emerge as a premier player. Doesn't look like it's happening. I'm not saying Chris Baker is a guy that's going to make anybody forget about Gates or Gonzalez or any of the big-time tight ends out there. But this is a solid signing. I think it's a good fit for the offense.
And we talked about this as one of the needs, a veteran third tight end, maybe a big body that could be a blocker. So it made sense on a lot of levels. Makes sense on a lot of levels that they looked to upgrade the defense, at least in terms of veterans, according to Mike Reese, PFW friend and of the Boston Globe. Lee Bodden will be in town to visit today to discuss his free agency and potentially coming to the Patriots. Paul, this is another move that I think you're madly in love with. Talk about Lee Bodden.
Yeah, this one I'm not as enthusiastic about. I think it's a continuation of what they've sort of done with the cornerback position over the last 5 years. They've taken some what I would call jag-type average cornerbacks.
Explain that term. We're going to use it a
just
lot
another
this
guy. Okay. Just another guy. And I don't think that Lee Bodden is anything that's going to make anybody forget about Asante Samuel or Ty Law. I think they need...
But can he make them forget about Delph O'Neal?
Well, maybe.
Because I don't mind the philosophy. I'm assuming they're going to draft a
corner. He's younger than
Delph
O'Neal, I'll say that.
But I think
the resume
you still
O'Neal
need to have a veteran. I think you still need to have a veteran. I wouldn't feel great going to camp if I had two draft picks from this year, two draft picks from last year, and Ellis Hobbs. I'd like to have a mildly experienced veteran in the mix just because it would make me feel better.
Yeah, the only concern is an 0-16 team didn't think he was worthy of keeping on the
roster. Well, there were some money issues there.
Yeah.
And a coaching change.
Right, but...
So the last regime traded for him, and he was due $11 million or something ridiculous?
But if he was that good, and the new coaching regime saw that, we know he's not that good.
Bill Belichick, the day he signs him, won't say he's that good. But is he good enough? Is he a veteran corner?
Right, and I'm saying if they thought he was good enough, he might still be a Lion right now.
well, I think he's not good enough to make a lot of money, is what they
say. I will say that, you know, the positives are that he spent some time in Cleveland with Romeo, so he probably has a
productive
at
time.
Least a foundation of the system under his belt. And I know that's been a big part of the transition problem with guys like Eric Warfield and Torrey James and some of the other, Dwayne Stark, some of the other cornerback that I would put in this kind of category. That's mm-hmm. where I think of Lee Bodden. I think of those guys that the Patriots have signed over the last 5 years, most of which didn't even end up making the roster. Fernando Bryant, mm-hmm. Eric Warfield, and the list goes on and on. This is, you know, he may make the team. He may not make the team. Chances are he'll just be another player out there and, you know, have a chance to start and fit in. I am much more high on the draft picks from last year, Wheatley
yeah, me too.
And Will Height, than I would be on this side.
I'm also concerned that, you know, you mentioned Bodden being in a system similar to this one, that this doesn't turn into a Victor Hobson situation where you say, oh, this guy played in a system, he should be a natural fit, and
that's
then he doesn't
point.
Get it.
Well,
so,
but I think he's going to end up with a deal you can do just like Victor Hobson, send him packing if it doesn't work
well,
out.
Well, what we didn't know about Victor Hobson is he evidently didn't get the system, and that's why he was available in the first
right.
place.
We're going to get to the exciting part of the show now. Rumors, 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 sirens, rumors, rumors, hearsay, speculation.
Whoop.
The name Julius Peppers and the New England Patriots continues to just pop up in various places. I told you guys there was a report in ESPN the magazine,
yep.
sort of a whispers-type column, that if he had his way, he'll be playing mm-hmm. for the Patriots next year. You know, if you remember, the report came out that there were four teams he'd want to go to. Cowboys, two in the NFC, and an unnamed AFC team, which certainly Patriots qualify.
And he narrowed it down when he said he
three,
wanted to play four. In a 3-4.
Patriots certainly right. play in the AFC and use a 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
What do we make of all this rumor, speculation, and just fun? I mean, this is fantasy talk. Acquiring a defensive player of the year type player is fantasy talk.
That's great talk, though.
But right. do we take it 10% seriously, 20% seriously? Do you think there's a legitimate chance Julius Peppers could be our Patriot at any point?
Yes, I do. And I think if it's going to happen, it'll happen sometime this first weekend.
Now, we'll continue with our speculation portion of the show. Does Julius Peppers' acquisition mean Matt Cassel is involved?
I think that makes a lot of sense.
I do.
You know, and I heard Adam Schefter talk this morning briefly on WEEI, and he talked about the...
Did he have a rumor siren?
Rumors,
the
rumors. Market... Did he have to talk like that? the market for Cassel, he said, was small. But at the same time, he indicated that he was one of the five best quarterbacks in football, in his mind. Cassel was one of the five best quarterbacks in football.
So he thinks like I do.
He couldn't understand why teams Dumbly. Like Detroit and in Kansas City and anybody else would rather...
Rather
you
try
know,
to take
a quarterback some yeah. other way
in
than,
the draft or
you know
or Sage Rosenfels.
So he thought if teams are unwilling to cough up the draft picks and that's what's keeping the market small, why not switch directions and let's go player for player acquisition, Cassel for Peppers. Now he seemed to indicate that would be a possibility, Cassel for Peppers. I personally, if I were the Patriots, I'd love that trade. I would absolutely love that trade if I could get Julius Peppers mm-hmm. for Matt Cassel, straight up.
Oh, that's,
now,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff. That's a very complicated deal because both guys are under the franchise tag. Cassel for 14-6, Peppers for 16-plus.
Yeah.
Well, he'll be under a new contract.
They would have to both,
oh, yeah, both
they would
of them
have
would
to
have
both
to
get long-term contracts, big money contracts worked out with their new teams prior to
Plus
a trade
Jake
being
DeLome,
consummated.
I mean, I don't know what he makes, but he signed a decent deal a couple years ago, so I got to think Carolina has some cap ramifications with Jake DeLome. Yeah, that's not the easiest of deals
but
to just
But it started
map
off,
out.
And you said it right, Andy. It started off, we kind of brought it, you know, as soon as Peppers said that whole thing about wanting to get out of Carolina and play into 3-4,
mm-hmm.
you know, the rumor mill went rampant. We got all the SPFWs, all our readers started.
We mocked them as we always do.
No, we really didn't mock them because he said he wanted to play into 3-4.
Right, that was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, you know, but now, I mean, I mocked him in the terms of I thought it was a fantasy that we'd get him. Now, I don't think it's would be.
Now it's been upgraded from fantasy to rumor.
To rumor. It's legit.
Right.
You know, John Czarnecki also had an item that came out when you guys were at the Combine where he talked about how the fit would be, blah, blah, blah. This is up to Bill. I mean, if Bill thinks this guy could transition to outside linebacker in his system, I think it's a very legit possibility.
Real quick, as we wrap this roster report up, two things. Breaking news out of Cleveland, Kellen Winslow has been apparently been traded to the Buccaneers. Kellen Winslow.
Okay.
So apparently he didn't fit under Eric Mangini's regime, and he will certainly fit under Raheem Morris's regime because they have the same cocky mentality and say anything approach to the
game. Oh, you're not a big fan of Raheem Morris?
No chance.
Is he, he's another one. Is he another
forward.
One? You didn't tell me that.
No chance. Yeah.
I didn't get the list of the coaches who were going
to
fail.
Peppers
the first
for a
year
minute.
Coaches.
Dominoes. You know, we mentioned Matt Castle in the trade, but what about the dominoes on defense? Adalys Thomas, Mike Vrabel. Is Vrabel or Thomas inside? Is Peppers playing? First of all, is Peppers playing outside linebacker? I think we all assume it.
I think he has to play outside linebacker. Okay. And I think that
he's kind of a tweener body.
Yeah,
he's like 290 pounds.
You raise a good point, though, because what does that do with Thomas? I mean, Thomas, we would think, is here for the long haul. Vrabel's not, you know, probably not. He's probably closer to the end of the line here than Thomas.
He's
in older.
That Teddy Bruschi phase where every year we wonder, could he retire?
I thought 2 years ago he was based on some of the comments he was making, he was thinking about retiring. Maybe he's thinking that way now. I don't know.
Certainly played like he was done
but
last year.
If Peppers comes, clearly you don't acquire a guy like Julius Peppers to have him be a situational player. He's starting and playing.
He's not a role player.
And
Teddy Bruschi,
and Thomas,
other dominoes are going to be affected at linebacker by that acquisition.
So you're right. You're right to bring that up, Andy. That's a part of this equation.
Quick on the coaching moves this week as well.
Why don't you handle those, Eric?
Chad O'Shea from Minnesota, an offensive assistant / wide receivers with Minnesota.
Went to Marshall at the same time as Troy Brown.
That's Troy Brown. That's right. He was
a quarterback
there. That's right.
He was.
He wasn't the quarterback. He was a quarterback.
I don't know if
he was
a
Paul
or
Perillo
the...
at Everett High.
Not sure about that, but he certainly threw passes to Moss either in practice or in games. We know that much.
Brown.
Brown, yes. I'm sorry. He's the new wide receivers coach.
And Jason Light.
Jason Light.
Back in the personnel department.
Director of pro personnel.
Yes.
Which is different from player personnel.
Right.
Which is
that's a promotion
Nick
that he hasn't yet gotten.
Right. But that's Nick Caserio.
But it's exciting times because we end the show with a little blurb about coaches rather than having the whole show about assistant coaches as we've done on these roster reports for the last month. Free agency is open. As the Browns showed us, the trading period is open. The purse is open, as Daniel
and
Snyder
Washington.
Showed us, with $150 million. Dollars.
As predicted on PFW
check
in progress.
Check back to Patriots.com. We'll do the best we can to keep you updated as to what's going on.
Sometimes the best isn't good enough. And we just proved that to you. We'll be back next Friday with another Patriots.com roster report. Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.